Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Option Trading Concepts Live. My name is Nick Batista. I got my man, Mikey Butler, with me as always. And if you want to come join us,
it was a great show. Got to reconnect with some regular viewers. Got to meet some new people, and it was just a wonderful time. New York's great.
Our biggest event to date, I think it was like 600 or 700 people we got. So pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was glorious, to be sure.
Yeah, we got to meet all the peeps in the chat. We had Alex and Sean and H Montero came out, Johnny Trader. We had all the boys out there, so it was fun. It was good to meet everybody, put a face to the name. So it was good. Oh, we got the little video here. Let's play it. Let's do it.
We got it.
A little time lapse. Awesome. Thank you, John. That was cool. Of course, I'm there, like, just waving my hands around like a, you know.
It was amazing. Right when you started, your hands were just flailing around. It was perfect.
Just is what it is.
Yeah.
I was born this way.
Yeah. But yeah, first one in the books, and Seattle's next in exactly 1 month.
It's going to be great. Yes, if you're in the area or you want to take a quick little vacation, a little staycation, come out and see us. It's fun. It's light. You know, we don't get I would say this one was more advanced than past years, but you know, we still try to keep it high level. I know Tom's was got a little wild at the end there, building the portfolio, but it's good content. So come out and see us and hang with us. It's a fun time.
Indeed.
Have you done anything this morning now that we're back?
So I've got an order working.
Okay.
I've got this order here working to close this Apple diagonal spread for $240.
Yeah. I'm moving Apple over the last couple trading sessions up like $10.
Mm-hmm.
Weakness today, down 50 cents, but big move to the upside.
Yeah, big green bar, and it hasn't really let up. We've had some volatile ranges here, but still creeping higher ahead of earnings. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to get out, secure the profit, and then re-enter for earnings. That's the plan here. So we're a couple cents away. It'll probably hit during the show here. We really need like a 5 cent rally in Apple for it to hit. But so that's a nice recovery from the original trade that was not ideal, but gold, I'm just so glad that gold came back down because
we were chatting about that in the morning before our flight. I closed out of the JP Morgan iron fly that I had. I took like $100 and something loss. Let me see. $220 loss on it after earnings. I wonder where it's trading now. 184, basically the same as where it was when I closed. I closed it when it was trading at 186. So it's down another $2 from there. But I was closing that one out because I had that position expiring Friday. I should have probably thought about that a little bit more, but I wasn't thinking about that when I was making the cherry picks on Tuesday. So I had that position. I had to close out of it just so I could avoid exercise and assignment. And I could have rolled it out, but I was sitting in the airport, just figured I would close it out. And we're sitting there looking at gold futures up $75 or something insane. Mikey's like, oh, great. You know, I got this micro gold contract that's going to be out $700, $800. And now you're, you know, back to kind of where you were. Now it's a nothing trade.
Yeah.
But you're today, out $100 and change.
Yeah. Today it creeped out, creeped below the basis here. I'll be looking for that again, and I'll definitely end up closing it if that's the case. Because I've been scared straight shorting gold, you know?
Oh, come on. You're small enough where it's pain, but you can manage. You're okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to execute a pain-free 2024.
You know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, not possible, but trying to just keep things really small. So yeah, even the micro gold can fly around, which we have realized already. So, but yeah, trying to close this Apple position ahead of earnings. Everything else kind of just where I would expect it to be. Nothing too crazy going on with any of these particular positions. So we'll see what this week brings. We do have earnings season in full swing. We had the banks out on Friday. We've got plenty coming out this week, but probably next week is when we'll really get into the weeds with some more earnings trades.
Yes, we'll be doing another edition of our earnings spreadsheet this week for the cherry pick. So that'll come out tomorrow in the morning. We're also going to look at some stuff in terms of correlations, maybe looking at Apple. My interest is in the correlation that Apple currently has relative to the S&P 500, which is only, don't look at, if you can, I want you to guess, what do you think the correlation is for Apple normally? And then what do you think it is right now?
Normally with the S&P 500, let's say 0.8.
Okay. What do you think it is now?
And right set now,
because I told the story.
Yeah. Right now it's probably 0.2, 0.3.
0.4 right now. So okay. It is at a historical low, or at least one of the lower points we've seen in the last 10 years or so. So we're gonna do some digging into that and see if we can find some meaning in that. So cherry picks coming out tomorrow.
Love
quick
it.
Little market update.
Yeah.
E-mini S&P 500 futures up 17. We were up 40 at one point today. We got up to 52.13 here. You had all the kerfuffle of the weekend war events that were leading the markets lower on Friday. It looked like, you know, we were going to have a rough Sunday open, and all was very quiet there. We did tick lower today, 51.64, the low of the day. So we were down like 3 or 4 points from the Friday close, but it's certainly been a relatively strong morning here. NASDAQ up 40, you got the Dow up 156, and the Russell buck in the trend down $6. You got oil futures /CL 83.89 down $1.19. Volatility futures /VX got into the 18 handle on Friday. We're now sitting down 40 ticks at 1680, down about 2.3% here. Bonds down 2 full points. Big move in bonds. Bonds have been moving wildly over the last couple weeks here. Gold, as Mikey has alluded to, down $7. It had a massive move on Friday, along with silver that is also here, that is also off the highs. It's up 37 cents today, but it got up to almost $30 on Friday there. And then Bitcoin taking it on the chin a little bit. Futures are down 2,300 here. You got spot down 300, but it has had pretty volatile move from about 70K on Friday down to 64 and change.
Yeah. This is to be expected, of course, but it's always interesting to see the day-to-day divergence or convergence with E-minis, NASDAQ, and Bitcoin. But yeah, we'll see what happens throughout the rest of the week. We will be here trading it for sure. But yeah, trying to close this Apple trade. Got my eye on the gold contract. I would love to exit that for a green scratch. And yeah. Well, we'll field your questions as always. We got a full Q&A session today on YouTube. So if you want to join us there, just head over to the Tasty Live YouTube channel. We're streaming live. You can see this video front and center, pop in your trade ideas and questions along the right-hand side chat.
Yes. If you got some trade ideas, I got some capital ready to throw out there.
There you go. And I did put a link to the cherry picks at the top of the YouTube chat, so you can get that before tomorrow's release. All right. Yep. Shall we kick it off here?
Yes.
I see David, synthetic short. Is that an optimal strike price to pick to enter a trade since everything has 100 delta? Is there an optimal strike price? Yeah. So the point here is, like, if you wanted to get short Apple with a synthetic, you could buy the put, sell the call. It doesn't matter where your strike is because everything's 100 delta. I would just say go where the most liquid strike is, which is usually going to be at the money. Because there's, like, to your point, there's no reason to go, like, deep in the money here. And I would say also avoid selling an in the money short, because that can just create issues if you get assigned. Not issues in terms of risk changing, just issues in terms of buying power and then the assignment, blah, blah, blah. So at the money, liquid strike, that's where we're going to go.
Yeah, they're all the same. So it doesn't matter which strike you trade at, they're all going to be the exact same position. It's just put call parity. So there's no difference to which synthetic short strike you use. I agree with Mike. It's probably best to go at the money. I will say, depending on your time frame and what kind of account you're trading in, it might be more capital efficient to either go with a zebra or even just an in the money long put as a synthetic stock short stock position. If it's a cheap enough position, if it's a short enough duration, you know, if you're like, you know, you're trading on a 20-day time frame, or even in Mikey's example, using the May expiration, you're probably more capital efficient just by buying the 200 strike long put at $2,400 than doing at the money, you know, 180 strike and using $4,000 in buying power to do that synthetic short. It's just, you know, you're paying 20 or 30 cents of extrinsic value, but you're only using half the capital there. So that's another thing I would just add to the conversation here.
Yeah, I completely agree. And especially, like, there's always the risk of a big move against you. And an in the money put like this, you're giving up, you know, 10 cents, 20 cents of extrinsic value, but you still have the same delta. And if there's a huge move in Apple to the upside, which is not priced in, but if there is, you're gonna save yourself a ton of loss, because the short synthetic, it just has infinite losses to the upside, where this is a very similar position from a profit potential to the downside, but you have that defined risk debit option. So yeah, we would go with that instead, or a zebra. Do you look at trading ranges of underlyings for a strangle? Yes, for sure. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it's nice to see, like, okay, I'm covering this range where this product has traded over the last 6 months, something like that. LMND April 16, 18 strangle. The stock's in this range since November of last year, except for a handful of outliers.
Yeah, I mean, this is certainly, I know it's been chopping around, but I think when this first IPO'd, it got up to like 60, 70, 80, 100. Yeah, it was in the 160 range in the fun 2020, 2021 trading.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's got some volatility, no doubt.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not sure what expiration you're looking at, but these options are just really cheap. It's not an efficient use of buying power. I mean, if you want to do it, fine, but it's not something I'm going to do here, because you're really just collecting a little bit and you're fading these kinds of moves. But if this move does happen, you're going to be feeling the pain. You could always roll into the earnings cycle, of course, but I might go with something else here. holding to expiry. Yeah, I mean, that's the way.
Cheaply define the risk here to cut your capital, because it's, you know, use $1,200 in buying power. You buy the 11 and the, you know, 25, 24, and you can cut this down significantly rather than doing this naked strangle. We're always looking for ways to be more capital efficient. I mean, that's, everybody has some sort of capital limitations, so it's important.
Bought some SVXY on Friday, but the buying power is 100% in a portfolio margin account. What's up with that? Volatility products are likely going to be an exception here, because this can just absolutely collapse. If volatility futures go from 16 to 30 in short order, SVXY is going to absolutely get decimated. So that would be the reasoning there.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you can't offset that risk. I mean, you could always, if you're buying 100 shares, you could buy a put for a dollar and reduce that. Let's see. Doing anything with UNH or J&J for earnings? From James Bond. UNH.
It's a tough one. Very expensive stock, 400-ish range. So you got to kind of do defined risk, or at least we do. Not much vol, shockingly. May, June implied volatility in the mid-20s.
Yeah.
Markets aren't awful. Doesn't look like they trade all that much, though.
I think for this one, I'll probably pass, just because it's so expensive and I don't feel like I need to have a position in here.
Mm-hmm. And you're trying to have
a pain-free 2024?
A pain-free 2024. So you're opting not to go to the fringe earnings trades.
Correct.
I think that's a smart move.
Yeah. These markets are fine. But yeah, there's decent amount of implied volatility relative to the back months. However, 20-point move on a $450 stock is really low. It's less than 5%. And normally for earnings, we see, you know, between 5 and 10% of implied movement from the stock price standpoint in the weekly cycle. So this one's going to be a no-go for me.
Yeah, J&J is in a similar situation where volatility is just very, very low here. I mean, monthly implied volatility at 21 handle here in J&J. If you look at May and June, it's just, volatility is very cheap. I think I lean towards J&J just because it's a cheaper earnings trade. If you're doing something in UNH, even if it's like a diagonal or a calendar spread, it's going to be a couple $100 or more. Here, you could do, you know, a cheapy calendar spread or tight diagonal spread for $100, $200, $300 and take a directional shot. I don't really have a directional play here. I guess if you wanted to play it just based on price extremes, you play a little bit to the upside, but I don't have a bone to pick here. You know, something like buying the 150 in May and selling the 152.5 in the weekly, it trades at like 243-ish. I mean, that's the sort of trade I would do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sexy trade. It's like a 40 or 50 cent upside trade.
Yeah.
And that's especially the case because you have all the way until the end of the week for that extrinsic value to come out. You know, you really need the $1 or $2 up move and then hold it through the end of the week to really get, you know, squeeze most of that out of there.
Yeah. Any Netflix earnings trade ideas? So yes, we will definitely be checking this one out.
Yeah.
This one is more our speed in terms of implied volatility in the weekly. Like, you can see that, you clearly see a difference, 50 points relative to $600 product. That's a big number from a percentage standpoint. And relative to June, which is where I prefer to go, given the implied volatility reduction relative to May, 8 percentage points, it's 20% less. So when you look at the just the raw cost here, the 620 in June trading for 4,200, the 620 in May trading for 3,400, and you have more than twice the amount of time, and you're paying a couple hundred dollars more. So I want to go to June for a lot of these, especially when I can see that there's low implied volatility with a similar number across the strike plane as you go further and further out in time. That just helps us understand that there's still going to be a volatility crush in these cycles, but it's not going to be nearly as much as May. May is going to be an 8% crush at least, and then it'll come down to whatever these go to. So if all these go to 35, you're going to get a 5% crush in June, but you're going to get a 13% crush in May. So got to try and avoid that for diagonal spreads, calendar spreads, things like that. With that said, our hands are probably going to be forced to do something like a calendar spread or iron condor in May. If I'm selling premium, I don't mind going to May. Because it's $600 product, like even a calendar, like let's say I'm bullish on Netflix, even a calendar spread here, we go to like the 675, which is where the expected move is, still going to be expensive. $1,300 calendar spread is not cheap.
It's a lot.
So maybe an iron condor for us.
Yeah. I have some short delta in there in my Johnny Trader account. I have the April 19th, 675, 685 call spread. I have it on for $2.20. It's currently marked at like 190 into this little mini sell-off that we have. But it's basically, you know, at the expected move, a little bit outside the expected move at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning short. Not huge short. I mean, it's four deltas.
Yeah. So maybe something like this. So like the 700-710 call spread, 540-530 put spread for $3, collecting one third the width or around there, and covering a nice wide range here. So with this said, like $3 in premium, we can look at our Vega exposure here, which is going to be pretty low, but let's see, 5 cents of Vega exposure net. So short 44 cents, long 39 cents. So that's 5 cents net on the call on the put side. And then same thing, 5 cents here. So let's call it 10 cents of Vega exposure per percentage point crush. So if I'm expecting a 13 percentage point crush here, that's $130 just on Vega alone. Now you're going to see directional movement that's going to kind of offset that a bit. So what I'm getting at here is if I sell this for $3, I would say best case scenario for earnings is probably $100. Is you're going to get some kind of directional move, and that's going to adjust your spread prices a little bit. But
You got a decent amount of volatility exposure too.
Yeah. So everything just went red. Look at that. E-mini's NASDAQ red.
Crash.
Oh, no. Apple just sold off a dollar. No. No.
You missed your close.
What did I just say about pain-free? That's
painful. Yeah. You got greedy because you wanted that extra couple pennies. You didn't want the position. You wanted the pennies.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, your pain-free 2024 lasted 35 minutes.
Yeah.
25 minutes.
Let's see here. What do we got from a economic calendar? Jobless claims Thursday, home sales. Not much here. That's interesting. Bitcoin almost down 3K now. Markets are moving, people.
Mm-hmm. Volatility picking up too, 17 on the VIX futures. Interesting.
Unity. Any thoughts on Unity Software, ticker U, mildly bearish? Bearish, huh?
It's come down from 40s into 24. I mean, it's down 50% in, you know, 2024-ish, basically.
Yeah. This is one where the current date of April 15th, tax day today. Does that mean McDonald's is giving out like free burgers or something? Don't they do something like that?
I don't know.
Anyways, May 9th after the close. I mean, if you're trading, if you're trying to avoid earnings, you got to go 18 days and prior to that. But this might be one where I wait for earnings, see where it's at. Don't mind being bearish here if you want to be bearish. It's just with a $25 stock, there's only so much you can make. So I would definitely define the risk. Because the velocity of risk is certainly to the upside. You can see that here. Market's pricing in upside risk from a velocity standpoint, which makes sense.
It's not a shock with the price down, the stock price down so much. Yeah, that's one. I mean, if we were going to trade it, maybe we wait a little bit, get closer to earnings. I guess if we wanted to just trade, no, it looks like it's somewhere in that May expiration.
Yeah. It'll be in this cycle here. You can see the IV spike May 9th after the close. I mean, yeah, this will be one where we wait till earnings. Anyone else glad to have reduced yen exposure? I exited 6J and saved myself a few G's. Now when to get back in?
You're smarter than I am. I've been sitting on this short put spread that's now fully in the money, was right at the money, but big move today. I think it was up on Friday, was it not? A little bit.
Yeah,
the bottomless pit, it looks like. Looks like this thing's going to zero.
Literally. Yeah, this one's tough. When to get back in is really going to be subjective. I mean, we've seen this story before where we think we've timed the bottom and then it doesn't happen. So similar to my gold, trying to get short and then watching it rip higher. But yeah, I mean, from a long-term standpoint, this is pretty much the bottom of the barrel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lower than what we saw late 2022. We are there. If you're looking for price extremes, I mean, here's an example of one, but when does it end? That's the question.
All right, I got long some Apple into this. I did a longer duration crab trade with a little bit of extra risk. So I went with the 180 call in June. So I'm long that. I'm short two of the 185s in the May monthly expiration. And then I bought one of the 195. So it's 5 by 10. Adds a little bit more extrinsic value because instead of buying the 190 that is a dollar and change in extrinsic value, I'm getting about another 50 cents of extrinsic value by moving that out to the 195. Picks up a little bit more credit against the long option. I did it at 241, so it's kind of a cheapie here. Chop around here or go slightly higher, this should be a pretty decent trade.
Yeah, this theoretical risk graph shows you if we were at May 16th. So basically getting all the value out of these options here, and your long option is your asset in this trade. So
yeah
neutral to bullish. I like it. Why Bitcoin not? Down 3K now.
Oh no, the laser eyes are gone.
Yeah, it's a wild, wild move here. It's for sure.
Yeah.
Literal historic low. BOJ is making noise about intervention. Yeah.
Do you have a Nike position left? I don't know if I have one.
Yeah.
I
have the 100 call in May.
Oh yeah, I have the 105 call. Yeah, there. If you got anything left over from that earnings, when was that earnings?
It was at the end of 2024, and then this one here.
Yeah. In March. Yeah. Yeah, if you got anything left over, there's nothing you can do. I mean, there's no value left. in any of them. That's just a loser. I mean, you got 60 cents of risk on the table moving forward.
Yeah. But yeah, got into it for $5. So if we get a if we get a 6-point rally in a couple of weeks, maybe I get a $100 loser overall. But yeah, I'm just going to leave it. See if we get a rally here.
Yep. Looking at the list of the S&P 100, some of the bigger movers to the downside, CRM, Tesla, Meta down $7, back down to 500, Netflix on there, AMD. You got filled on a new AMD position, right? Didn't you do something or did you close out of it?
No, I have it.
Yeah, you got it. Okay.
The 180 calendar, I rolled into the calendar. And now that short option has lost a lot of value too. So AMD taking it on the chin here. Went from 230 to 160 in a couple of weeks here. Mm-hmm. Crazy. But yeah, right now I've got a basis of 742. Yeah, bought it for 912. The 180, 190 diagonal rolled to a calendar for $1.70. So 742 is my basis. And it's down $300, $400. So what does that mean going forward? I need a 10-point rally from here, which isn't impossible given the size of these bars that we've seen. So can always get bailed out from earnings. That's the nice thing about this long option placement is that we have the ability to get bailed out if there's a big rally after from earnings. We shall see. Laser eyes reduced to merely obnoxious LED headlights. Yeah. Yeah. Aftermarket headlights. I used to be a big fan of those when I was much younger. The halos. Remember those?
I don't. I was not a tricked out car guy.
You were a Jeep. Yeah, you had a tricked out Jeep.
Yeah, but that's not like, you know, that's different.
Yeah.
My pavement princess car.
Did you wave to other Jeep owners on the street?
Of course.
Yeah. That's just like a rule, right? You have to.
Thanks.
Yeah. When you're leaving the lot with your new Jeep, they say, don't forget to wave to fellow Jeep owners.
Yes. It's not the coolest thing. What about Goldman Sachs? You want to get some short delta there? It's up.
Goldman Sachs. Whoa.
Had earnings this morning. It got up to 420-ish or just under 420. It sold off a little bit from there, but it's had a nice little rally.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
I was looking a little bit longer term. Mm-hmm. So like a June, May position. You still got relatively high IV rank, but actual volatility is relatively low here at 24-25%. Maybe looking at like the 400 for June,
mm-hmm.
380 in the May,
and
along one of the 360s in the May. So it's a 20 by 20, trades at like 860, 870-ish.
Butterfly?
Crab trade.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
there.
Yeah, I like it. I was looking at the straight up 400, 390. It's trading for a similar amount. So crab trade, this is still May 16th analysis here. Mm-hmm. So crab trade, neutral to bearish, risk below 365-ish. If you do just a 390, 400, you're looking something like that. Very similar to price. So yeah. Tomato, tomato, it appears. But yeah, I don't mind this. Longer term, reducing cost basis by about 30% on the long option with the sale of the short. I can get down with this.
Yeah. It's the same amount of extrinsic value that I'm selling. I'm selling like $5 and change, but I'm a little further out of the money. So I'll have a lesser delta to start, but higher potential delta if we get a down move.
I was just instantly filled at 855.
Scary.
The market wanted that position badly. Lost 34% on a 25K account. Do you have any recommendations on how to regain confidence? What strategies to use and how much risk per trade with what's left in the account? That's tough for sure. I would say if you're trying to regain confidence, I would go to the ETF world.
Get smaller.
Mm-hmm. Stick with ETFs. ETFs are just much, much easier to manage, even if things are moving against you, because the percentage moves against you are going to be much lower than a single name equity that's moving in a big way. So I might go to, like, instead of trading like Apple or Google or Microsoft directly, I might just go to the Qs, do something like that. Or you can get smaller with other ETFs, but that's what I would do. Go to the ETF world, get some confidence back. Do some longer term trades like the one we just did in Goldman Sachs, 67 days on the long option, 32 days on the short. So we have the ability to manage this. Even if Goldman Sachs continues to rip higher, we can reduce this 855 debit that we see now, similar to what I did with AMD. Like, AMD is pretty much worst case scenario. Got into it for $9. It's now at 740. I still have 30 days left, which is still plenty of time for something to work out. So longer term trades, I would say, and just get smaller. So small on a 25K account, less than 5%, that's the number regardless. So for that, that would mean $1,000 max buying power, max risk, if you had 25K. That's basically what I try to do, is keep everything under $1,000.
Yes. I think that's a good practice.
Yeah.
I just rolled up a put in Google. I had the 135, 170 strangle on for 327. It's basically flat. I mean, the stock has rallied, but the position has stayed pretty flat because that put has lost so much value. It was only trading at like 75 cents. So I rolled that up to the 145 strike, which is roughly a 20 delta. So it kind of flattens out my delta here with the 145, 170 strangle. I've got that on for $4.49 credit. It's trading at 445. If you don't have a Google position, maybe you look at something there, Mikey. It's had a nice rally. Maybe you do like a neutral something. I mean, high Ivy rank. It does have earnings coming up in the next week or so.
Yeah, I'll definitely trade this, but I'm going to stick to waiting for earnings, which will be next week, April 23rd, as it stands. It'll definitely be in this 11-day cycle. So we'll see once they confirm it. What's going on here? What do you think? What do you think tomorrow? Reversal.
I mean,
it's a pretty big reversal.
Yeah. I just think there was so much built up energy over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That volatility has got to come out, which, you know, is typically a good thing for markets.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, it's not like we've had a significant move here.
Adrian, nice to meet you in New York. Met a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it was really good. Hello, anybody that comes out, if you ever come out to see us, you gotta let me know who you are in the YouTube chat or on Twitter, because that is always fun for me. You know, put a name to the face.
Yeah. Put a screen name to the face. NVIDIA. Thomas thinks a rally is coming.
Traded up to 900 today. 900 and change.
Mm-hmm.
20, 30 bucks at one point.
Yeah. It was weird. It was a weird open because the NASDAQ was up much, much more and NVIDIA was like flat.
Mm-hmm.
It opened and then it rallied 10 points or so, but now it's down 350. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy.
What's the trade idea? What's the trade thought?
Just bullish.
Okay.
Looks like earnings are going to be after the May monthly cycle, given the 45% jumping to 60%. So it's still just so expensive in here. Yeah. I'm not sure what to do here. Yeah, I mean, like a $3,000 calendar spread.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. I would love for it to have a split.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that you lose some of the gamma and momentum that you see in some of these stocks. Just mm-hmm. because, you know, the gamma can grow teeth there. And once you split the stock, you don't have as much of that. But for a retail trader, it's tough to do anything that's, you know, real directional here. And even if you're doing short premium like iron condors or something like that, you don't get paid because the relative width of the spreads is tight. You know, a 10 or 20 point wide spread in NVIDIA is, you know, equivalent to a $5 wide in SPY. They just don't move all that much.
Yeah.
It's a tough one to trade.
Yeah, I might look at something like this, like a 30-day defined risk credit spread or vertical spread if you're looking for that. This is outside of the earnings cycle for now. I guess they haven't really confirmed it yet, but this gives you that full decay as long as it stays above $800.15, close to one-third the width here. But like Nick is saying, you're going to have to hold this closer to expiration because it's such a narrow spread relative to the stock price. Yeah, I don't mind something like that. Little small trade here. Name tags for both real name and screen name. This will soon lead to Stonk Messiah impersonators.
We have met the Stonk Messiah in person.
He
does exist.
That he does. Okay, Goldman Sachs up 3 cents. We like to see that.
David, we did get some picks right for UFC. We had a very, it looked like it was going to be the perfect parlay, a five legger that was at like plus 4,000 or something.
Yep.
That looked like it was going to be a real nice night for us, but we missed on Oliveira.
Very sad.
Sad.
Because the other ones were just like, not even a sweat. It was just like
ding, Holloway ding, in ding, there. Ding.
Holloway is an absolute G.
Yeah.
He went at the end of that fight, and he was calling him to the middle of the ring to just go to war.
Yeah.
That was like, insane. Down,
right here. Like right yeah. here.
Yeah. That was absolutely nuts. I love him. But yeah. Oliveira needed 10 more seconds and he would have got him.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunate. But yeah, we did get another parlay, right?
Yes.
That's nice. It's always fun. Now we're going to get a W2G from the state of New York.
Do they really do that?
We're going to have to look into that. We're going to have to look into the what signifies a tax form. Like, is it $600 profit, $500? Like, what is it?
And does it count even if you're just like there for a short period of time?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. Credit spread in GS 410, 420 in what expiration? May?
Any expiration that you're in, it's significantly better now with the stock only up 11. It traded at 420. So, you know, if you're in May, you're probably a scratch.
Yeah, so June is trading for 385 and May is trading for 337. So I'd probably go to May,
mm-hmm.
Given the fact that if there's a reversal, you're going to get paid much more quickly in May than June. But if you want the extra time in June, can't fault you for that. But yeah, I don't mind it. Any trades in IWM or TLT?
IWM, I have an interesting position already in my Johnny Trader account. I have let me see. It started out as a crab trade. I rolled it to a calendar spread. So I'm long the May 200 put and then short the April 200 put here, expiring in 4 days. So 4 days to go, the 200 put still has almost a dollar of extrinsic value. The position is up like 20 or 30 cents, but it's one where I was short and now I'm kind of long just given the move that we've had here. So that's what I've got on at the moment. Do we have a directional assumption from that question?
I do not see one.
Trades in IWM. That quite the pullback.
Yeah.
You wanted to get, you know, neutral slash bullish. That would make some sense.
Yeah. Liquid markets. You can do anything in here. Almost penny wide. But yeah, I think you can, if you're trying to take a directional stance, not much premium in the long-term options here, longer term, May, June, because Ivy's at 24%. So it's easy to take a directional shot or just create a debit trade. Credit spread, something like that. The world is your oyster.
I'll do something. So I am looking at 30 delta on either side here in the May expiration. So we'll call it 205 on the upside, 190 on the downside. I'm going to go $10 wide, do an iron condor because I don't want to be using $3,000 in buying power here. So I'm going to go $10 wide. You lean slightly short delta. It goes with what we talked about with skew last Monday because of this, the long option that you have on both sides. The upside is a lesser delta than the put side because the actual skew to the downside is much greater than to the upside when you look at the tail skew. So you lean a tiny bit short here, just relative to the spreads there. Trades at 340-ish, you know, right around one third the width of strikes. Ivy rank is high, 343. There you go.
Love it. EXT on the platform stands for extrinsic value. That is correct. Yes. So on the positions tab, when you see it, if you're going to see a negative number for options that you're long and a positive number for options that you have purchased. So just keep that in mind.
And if you're talking about the EXT for stock orders, so that's for extended hours. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to route a you know, if you want to trade stock in the after hours or before the open session, you can change the time and force there to EXT. And that's how you route it aftermarket.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing with the Nike bull butterfly spread you put on a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I don't.
Do you have one?
I just have a long call that expires at the end of April. I don't know if they're looking at your position because mine was, I did this as a call diagonal into what I believe was earnings in February 16th. I was long April, short the March 22nd, which I think was going into earnings. Earnings mm-hmm. obviously had the big move down. This option, it basically went to zero. So there's been nothing to do with it. Nothing. I mean, it was a $290 loss, $295. Stinks.
Yeah. But I mean, still got time.
I have 4 days, so I'm not hopeful, but yes.
Yes. Have more time. Yeah. 30 days. We'll see. We'll see if we can get it. Airlines, Delta had earnings last week. They had a intraday rally and then they reversed it. UAL is tomorrow after the close. Where's the rest of these? AAL, April 25th. Southwest, April 25th. So United, you have any interest in trading this?
Well, we flew it this weekend and it was pretty good, I would say. Yeah.
You want to hear a scary story? So I just bought my ticket to Japan later this year. And I was looking at the flight and I was going through it, looked at the flight number, matched my friends that already bought the tickets. And I was like, why do I see your seats as available? That's weird. And they're like, I don't know. I see it as where I booked it on the United app. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to, you know, sit one row next to you. And I booked the ticket for $1,100. And then I looked when it gave me the confirmation and it said, you're flying April 29th out of O'Hare. And I was like, oh.
You booked it for the wrong date?
Yes. I booked it for April 29th. Cause I didn't even look. Cause I used, you know, I used the Googles to do the thing and I changed the date. But when I went to United, it didn't adjust the date. It just gave me like April 29th. So, and it's the same flight number. So I didn't even like really look too deeply into it. So I obviously started like freaking out because I thought I just burned $1,100, just vapor. But there's a 24-hour cancellation policy. Thank
lucky
the Lord. So now we're on the right flight. The seats that they said they had were X'd out, like you couldn't have it. So I think we're on the right flight now.
Yeah.
But yeah, UAL, this is an interesting one because you've got decently low implied volatility in June. 46% is not super low, but it's not super high either. But looking at this differential, $3 expected move for the 4-day, $5 expected move for June. Kind of like that. And it's really cheap to get involved here. So I think I'm going to play it to the upside. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. 40 in June for $4. And then let's just do the 44 and a half for 60 cents. How about it?
Do it.
A little cheapy. Because they allowed me to cancel my flight. So we got to play it to the upside.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a question come in on Triple M from Ed. So it had a split. It was a funky split. And I mentioned this to Tom as a PSA as well a couple weeks back when it happened. So Triple M and GE both had like split spinoffs. Mm-hmm. So Triple M split was...
looks like 4-1 MMM SOLB.
Yes, SOLV. So the way you can calculate the price of your previous options is to do it at that. So right now you've got Triple M trading at 91. You have SOLV trading at 61. So you would take that four to one, right? So you'd multiply it by four. I can do this. Let's do this. All right, so 91. Let's 91 times 100 plus 61 times 25. Okay, divided by 100 puts you at, so the combined position trades at 106.25-ish right now. So between 106 and 107 is what the current value of the pre-split options are based on. This is why we get out of these positions prior to these sort of things. So, you know, it's a lot, it's a messy, when you do forward splits or reverse splits, it's a little bit easier because it's just the same underlying. But these options, all these options in the non-standard, the NS1 expiration, are trading to a price of the 125 shares together, you know, down to 100 shares. So it's 106 to 107. And you can kind of see that in the options as well. So if you just look at those options, you can see that the 95 put trades at 56 cents. That doesn't make any sense with the stock currently at 91. It's because those options are priced on the pre-split value. So the position that you had, so you have the 100 call pre-split. So the 100, the 100 calls pre-split would be, where is that trading? Yeah. So the 100 call is out of the money.
Yeah. I mean, look, just look at this premium here. The 100 call in May in the non-standard is trading for $9, and the opposing 100 put in the money is trading for $1. So
Yeah.
this is just all crazy now. But anytime there's a split or a reverse split, there's going to be a deliverable menu here on the trade platform, the
It's an
trade
in the
tab.
money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's trading at exactly what it should be. So it should be trading at $8.
Correct. It's just not fun to look at. That's what I'm getting at.
Oh.
But yeah, anytime this happens, there's a way to look at which deliverables you're looking at here. So just keep that in mind. I mean, this is always the scenario where we just get out of the position to avoid this. But yeah. Last question here. Any adjustment for your Netflix call spread? I know you talked about it earlier.
I'm gonna hold it for a little bit longer, see what happens. I mean, if we can get to like, so let's see what it's trading at right now. I can get to like a 50 to 75 cent winner today, I would close it. You only got 4 days to go till expiration, so it's expiring soon. I'm almost there. I'm up like 57 right now. I might just close it. I mean, it was a scratch earlier this morning.
Yeah.
Because the stock was up, so I might just take that off the table.
There
Let's
you
see.
go.
I'm gonna route an order. Let's do it at $55 profit. We'll see if I get filled. So I've been working for 167. I'm gonna let it sit.
There you go.
Seven double.
Cool. What are your overall market assumptions for the rest of the month? I think we're going to see some more turbulence to the upside and downside. I think Bitcoin's going to continue to fly around.
I'm hoping for a little chop.
Yeah,
We
but
haven't had a good sideways chop for a little while.
yeah, I think we're going to see some surprises from earnings, as we always do. So just keep that in mind, regardless of your assumption, there will be surprises. So just keep that risk small. Make sure you understand that going into it if you're trading them. But yeah, we'll be here trading it for the rest of the month. So we shall see what happens. But that's it for us. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, shoot us a note on the Twitters. I'm at Trader Mikey B. Nick's at Trader Nicky Bat. Again, if you're on the YouTube chat, I've got the newsletters link to get the cherry picks tomorrow at the top of the chat pinned. Stay tuned. We got plenty more content coming your way on tastylive.com as well as the YouTube channel. And we'll see you same time, same place, 11 a.m. Central tomorrow. Peace.